Welcome to No Man's Land Podcast by New Age Cinematics. Home of the unmatched cinematic and podcast content. Now, it's time to hold the line and follow me into the No Man's Land for another episode. Las Vegas was a small railroad town when Nevada formally established it in 1905. 5 years after its founding, the U.S. Census recorded only 800 residents. Yet by the 1950s, it was known as a gambling tourist haven, where visitors could see a show with celebrities like Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., in between trips to the baccarat tables. Although Nevada's legalization of gambling in 1931 opened the doors for this transformation, that alone doesn't tell the whole story of how Las Vegas became the gambling mecca over its one-time rival, Reno. The story also includes an influx of workers to federal projects in Nevada, a crackdown on illegal gambling in Los Angeles, and the mob's migration to Vegas. Nevada's legalization of gambling in 1931 coincided with the beginning of construction on the Hoover Dam, which brought thousands of workers to Boulder City. On payday, these workers would travel the roughly 25 miles to Las Vegas to enjoy gambling on Fremont Street, which was the downtown hub of Vegas before the Strip. One of the sayings was that the town got very exciting for a couple of days a month, says Michael Green, a history professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. During World War II, the opening of a magnesium plant in nearby Henderson, Nevada also brought in a large population of workers looking for weekend recreation. Still, an influx of gamblers every 2 weeks wasn't enough to make Las Vegas a gambling mecca. For that, it needed people with experience running gambling businesses. Starting in 1938, these people began to move to Las Vegas as a new mayor in Los Angeles cracked down on illegal gambling. One of the most influential was Guy McAfee, an LA cop on the Vice Squad who fled California to escape prosecution for running gambling and prostitution rings on the side. Another big turning point came in 1941, when the first combined hotel casino, El Rancho Vegas, opened on a stretch of Highway 91 that McAfee later nicknamed the Strip. The El Rancho Vegas Resort was important because it helped make gambling something you could do on a vacation, says David Schwartz, a gaming historian at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And that was very successful. The resort's success led others to open hotel casinos. Some sprouted up on Fremont Street, nicknamed Glitter Gulch by the Chamber of Commerce in 1946, the same year McAfee opened the Golden Nugget there. Others were built on the Strip, an area outside of city limits where McAfee and other resort owners established the unincorporated township of Paradise, Nevada as a tax shelter. Around the same time that McAfee and his cohorts were building gambling resorts and finding ways to avoid taxes, a new group of people began to see the potential of opening their own Vegas casinos, the mob. One of the first major mob figures in Vegas's gambling industry was Benjamin Bugsy Siegel, who helped open the Flamingo in 1947 on the Strip. After Siegel's murder that year, other mob figures began to get involved with the city's gambling industry. For organized crime operators, Las Vegas presented two parallel opportunities, says Jeff Schumacher, vice president of exhibits and programs at the Mob Museum in Las Vegas. The first was that mobsters who'd been running illegal gambling rings in other cities could make legal money from gambling in Las Vegas. Until the 1970s, Nevada was the only state with legal casino gambling. But the parallel concept that they came up with was skimming, he says. This was the illegal practice of hiding the real amount of money a casino was earning. The main money that was made by the mob in Vegas was money that was not taxed, was not accounted for. During the 1950s, the mob helped bring celebrity acts to Vegas as a way of enticing more people to the casinos. The gangsters moved into the strip club business, pushed out further from the Strip, into the corner malls in the dodgy parts of town, away from the cameras. It was an open secret, the only thing that stayed in Las Vegas. Until tourists started getting stomped in parking lots by bouncers with criminal records longer than the famous crooks who used to run the town. And then it became a thing called Operation G-String, a corruption scandal that encompassed city officials, organized crime, and the women earning 20 bucks a dance. The clubs got cleaned up, people went to prison, but not for long. They got out, got into real estate, mortgage fraud, that sort of thing, and that is the shortened version of how Las Vegas came to be, a city created by mobsters.
Thank you for listening to No Man's Land Podcast. A no man's land is a location in a war zone that no one is willing to control. Such a place is extremely dangerous. Both sides having soldiers who are injured or dead within this zone. Here at No Man's Land Podcast, we look at those injured and dead within that zone. Metaphorically, we believe that the no man's land is like controversial topics people try to avoid. We know for a fact, ignoring crucial topics that may make you feel uncomfortable or controversial is a direct impediment to society. For if we allow conversation to unfold among these topics, we can get a better understanding of why someone may think the way they do and grasp more information, helping to build a better society along the way. This will help build our well-being and to progress the social norms of society. That ain't all we provide. Here at No Man's Land Podcast, we bring philosophy, psychology, human behavior, criminology, world news, deep space, extraterrestrials, gaming news, business strategies, and much more. Don't be afraid to cross the no man's land, and we will see you on the next episode.
Get your hands on exclusive new age designs you can't find anywhere else, created by our wonderful team. Just another great way to directly support this show. Use code NAC17 for 17% off your entire order.